Hey, I had worked bulls before. I knew they were capable of inflicting big damage if they got half a chance. But I also knew that once you get a bull turned and running off in the right direction, 97.4% of the time, he'll keep going and won't turn to fight. So I played the percentages, right? When the numbers are on your side, everything's supposed to turn out just fine. And what more can a dog do? Okay, I'll tell you what happened after I bit that stupid bull on the heels. But I'm not proud of it, and there's no reason for blabbing it all over the country. I sank my teeth into his left hock, little suspecting that he might kick me into a low polar orbit with the right one, and never dreaming that he could do it in the blink of an eye. But he darn sure did. Kicked me dead center in the rib cage, and I thought I had been run over by a large truck. All at once, I saw red checkers and skyrockets exploding behind my eyes. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't think. I couldn't move. I don't know how far I flew through the air, but it wasn't far enough. I landed nose first in the side of a sandhill. I lay there on the ground, gasping for breath and trying to restart my heart, when I began to realize that this killer hooking bull wasn't finished with me. It wasn't enough that he'd broken the law of averages and taken a really cheap shot and kicked the absolute stuffing out of me. No, he wanted some more, and here it came. Any bull that would beat up on a handicapped dog is beneath contempt, but he loaded me up on his horns and pitched me into the ozone layer of the atmosphere. I landed in an awkward heap in the middle of a sagebrush, and I remember with perfect clarity the thought that came into my mind when I hit. Enough of this nonsense. Let's go to the house. But the drama was just beginning, as it turned out. Slim popped the bull again and tried to turn him back to the northeast. But Mr. Bull seemed to be enjoying this, and instead of running away, he dropped his head and charged Slim's horse. They got out of the way just in time. Slim rode a short distance away and started building a loop in his rope. His eyes had settled into a tight squint, and the muscles in his jaws were working. You all right, Hanky?
No, not really.
Get up and let's teach this old general who's boss around here.
No, thanks. I already knew who was boss.
Slim shook out his loop and held it shoulder high. He moved his horse towards the bull and tried to coax him into running. And I knew why he tried to do that. You see, it's much easier to rope an animal that's running away from you than to rope one that's facing you. I knew that, even though I myself don't rope. I'd watched Slim and Loper in action before, and I seem to have an amazing memory for such details. It's just part of being a cowdog. But the bull didn't go for it. He was on the fight, and he had no intention of running anywhere. He perked his ears, bellowed, pawed the ground, and dared Slim to make the next move. And Slim did. Instead of throwing your standard head or horn loop, as he would have done if the bull had run away, he turned his horse to the left and flicked out a Houlihan. That Houlihan is a slick loop. It's quick, like a cobra striking its victim. No twirl, no warning, just swish and jerk slack. Slim's pretty good hand with the Houlihan, and he nailed his loop to Mr. Bull's horns. It was a great throw, and one of the biggest mistakes he'd made all week. He popped his slack, turned his horse, gave him the spurs, and headed for the stock trailer without even looking back. He should have looked back, because at that very moment, Mr. Bull turned and ran in the opposite direction. I saw what was coming, and I tried to bark a warning, but it was already too late. The die had already been cast into the wash tub. Also, I couldn't even breathe, let alone bark. To appreciate what happened next, you must remember. 1. The home end of Slim's rope was tied solid to the saddle horn. 2. He was riding a young horse that probably had never been married to a full-grown bull. 3. Horse and bull were running hard in opposite directions. And 4. Nylon ropes don't break. When they hit the ends of that rope at the same time, the wreck began. It jerked Slim's horse completely off his feet, and he landed on top of Slim. I mean, all I could see of that cowboy was two hands, one boot, and part of a dirty felt hat sticking out from under the horse that was wallowing around and trying to get up. I had witnessed a few wrecks in my time, but this one looked about as nasty as any I could imagine. And it wasn't over yet. The jerk whipped the bull around so hard that he swapped ends and came out of it facing Slim and the horse. And instead of teaching him a lesson, it had just made him madder than ever. That bull's head was shaking with rage. I heard him snort. I heard little Alfred scream. I heard Slim let out a groan from underneath the horse. And then, before my very eyes, the bull lowered his head and charged the horse. And holy smokes, all at once we had a terrorized colt on top of a smashed cowboy being charged by a huge, horned, hooking bull that was mad enough to finish the job he'd just started. And don't forget that rope. The horse and the bull were still tied together by that rope. And don't forget that the head of ranch security had been wounded in action and was in no position to rush to anybody's defense. I mean, I was still trying to get my first breath. I was crippled and badly damaged and beaten to a pulp. The bull waded into the wreckage and started working that poor colt over with his horns. If you think the colt was poor, just think about what was underneath him. Slim. Oh, that bull had no mercy. Good grief, hadn't he done enough damage? Did he have to keep on beating on that poor colt with his horns? By George, when I saw that, I started getting mad. I jacked myself up off the ground and yelled, "Drover, are you gonna stand there and watch this outrage? What are you waiting for? Get your skinny, worthless little stub tail out here and draw some blood."
"Well, you go first, Hank, and then I'll come."
"I can't go first, you moron. I'm wounded and damaged beyond repair. We've got a cowboy on the ground and he needs help right now. And you're next in the chain of command. Attack, charge, red alert."
"Oh my gosh. Well, I guess I sure hope this old leg of mine."
I'll give him credit for trying. He jumped out of the pickup and ran straight for the bull, yipping and squeaking. I'm sure the bull got a big chuckle out of that. A sawed-off stub-tail squeak box coming out to the field of battle to do something or other. When Drover was about 2 feet away, the bull made a run at him. Drover not only changed directions in the blink of an eye, but he also destroyed half the sagebrush in that pasture, getting back to the pickup. The bull watched this with his wicked, heartless eyes, and it even appeared to me that he was smirking. Then he turned back to his main source of entertainment, beating up on the colt. By this time, the colt had wallowed to his feet. He was moon-eyed and trembling all over, waiting to see what this dragon of a bull would try to do to him next. My eyes darted to Slim. He was lying face down in the sand. He hadn't moved. I could see that he needed help. I took a limping step in his direction and, well, Mr. Bull got the message across to me that I should sit down and shut up, so I sat down and shut up, so to speak. I had felt a sinking spell coming along anyway. Just taking those two steps had worn me to a frazzle. And also, I needed to plan my next move. Don't you see? All at once, Slim lifted his head and let out a groan. Boy, that was good news. There for a minute, I'd thought maybe. But no, he was still alive. He placed the palms of his hands on the ground and pushed himself up to a kneeling position. Good heavens, I hardly even recognized him. His eyes and mouth had vanished, and his face had become a featureless white mask that Okay, that was mostly sand. His face had gotten mashed into the sand, see, and there for a second it had... He brushed the sand off his face and let out another groan. He sat there for a moment, with his head hung down and his left hand resting on the right side of his rib cage. He blinked his eyes and looked at me.
Well, Hank, we've got ourselves in a real jackpot here.
With great effort, I hobbled over to him and began administering special certified Red Cross CPR licks to his face. Those certified licks will bring a guy around as fast as anything. I had given him several before he pushed me away and said, "Quit." Then he turned and studied Mr. Bull, who stood between us and the pickup. He was watching our every move and appeared to be thinking bad thoughts.
"Hank, I've messed up some ribs and maybe some more things too. I need to make it to the pickup and get back to the house. Reckon you can keep that bull off me?"
Me? Keep the... Hey, I was injured pretty badly myself, and I'd already learned about as much from that bull as I cared to, and besides... He put his hand on my head and rubbed my ears.
"See, I might be messed up inside. That Colt mashed me pretty bad. What do you say? Can you help old Slim?"
I thought it over. Sure, I could help him.